the book of 1 John, the little epistle of 1 John. You have 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And then you have Jude and Revelations. It is in the New Testament if you need that information. 1 John chapter number 2. Amen. 1 John chapter number 2. I'm interested starting our reading. You ought to read the whole book of 1 John. It's absolutely just wonderful. Deals with so many things that addresses the people of God. And 1 John chapter 2 ought to help anybody get it settled whether they're saved or not. The key word for the book of 1 John is the word know. That's the main purpose for which he writes this book. In chapter 5 and verse 13, in fact, is the key verse to the entire book. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's not the main. That's not the only purpose that he's writing. He writes like for instance, chapter 1 and verse 4, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. So he writes throughout the Bible here, throughout these five chapters, various and different reasons why he's writing this book. And it's very, very helpful, very informative, and very convicting as well. But I'm interested this morning, chapter 2, verse number 12. The Bible says, I write unto you, little children. He said, here's another reason why that I'm writing in this five chapter epistle. I'm writing unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Now, I'm going to tell you, you won't hear that on CBN, CBS, ABC, or CNN. You won't get that on a report over the news that your sins have been forgiven you. Because they're not into broadcasting good news. They're into broadcasting bad news and keep everybody depressed and on dope and everything else. But the Bible says here in verse 12, I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Boy, that right there ought to cause anybody in this building to say amen. That ought to cause us all to say hallelujah. That ought to cause us everyone to say glory to God. My sins are gone. Amen. They're not in a bag, as Job wrote about. They're not even behind his back. They're not even in a sea, as it was recorded in the book of Psalms. The New Testament economy makes it even better. They're gone. Amen. They're just absolutely gone. Justified means just if I'd never sinned. Amen. That's how gone they are. Amen. If they're in the deep of the sea, somebody might get a fishing rod and go in there fishing and catch them. Amen. Amen. If they're in a bag, somebody might find the bag. But you know what? They're gone. Hallelujah. My sins are gone. Amen. You ought to be able to rejoice over that unless your sins are not gone. Unless your sins have not been forgiven you, then I could understand why that there would be sadness and gloom and doom in a child, anybody. Not just child of God, but anybody. He said in verse 12 again, I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Verse number 13, I write unto you fathers because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children because ye have known the Father. Unless I don't get to it, but verse 13, he addresses three different age groups of people. He addresses the fathers, or the aged, or the mature. And then he addresses the young people, the young men, the people that are on another level, a little lower level spiritually. And then he addresses the little children. He's addressing those that are immature, those that are still babies, if you will. Now the word children in verse 12 and the word children in verse 13 are not the same. I know it's the same English word, but it's not the same Greek word. The one in verse number 12 is the word that identifies the born ones. In other words, it identifies all of God's children. It identifies the entire family of God, verse number 12. But when he talks about the little children in verse 13, that's a different one. That's speaking of infancy. That speaks of immaturity. And of course, everybody in this building today is not on the same level concerning maturity. Amen? You ever looked at some people and wondered why they get away with something you can't? You ever looked at some people and they do something that you know that you cannot do and don't want to do, or maybe that you used to do but others can do? There's different levels of maturity. Maybe they're not on the level that you're on. Amen? Pray for them. Don't polish your nose, you know, like a good Pharisee, you know, to where you can look down that snout at everybody and say, well, why are they doing that? I can't believe they're doing that. Well, that may be their level of maturity. We need to pray God take them to another level. Amen. We need to be an example in front of them that they'll want what we've got, that they'll want to come up to where we are. Amen. Amen. But the Bible said in verse 14, for I have written unto you, and he goes through them again, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Verse number 15, every church I know of in America needs this verse practiced and preached in it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. Now, amen. Loving Jesus won't kill a service. Loving on the Lord will not kill you spiritually. But loving the world will. Amen. There's no deadness in the Spirit of God. You can't look in the Bible and show that to me. There are no deadness and dullness in the Holy Spirit. No. Amen. Amen. There's life in the Spirit of God. There's hope in the Spirit of God. There's help in the Spirit of God. Amen. In fact, the Spirit of God is called the Spirit of Christ. And there's no deadness and dullness in Christ. Amen. I'll tell you, all that comes from worldliness, and our churches are eat up with it. Amen. Even RBT may be above average, so to speak, if you compare to others, which we're not supposed to do. The Bible said they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Amen. But I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, carnality will still kill. Amen. To be carnally minded is what? Romans chapter 8, read it. To be carnally minded is death. Amen. Carnality kills. That's what it's always been. Ask Lot if it don't kill. Ask Naomi if it don't kill. Ask her husband Elimelech, and ask Melion and Chilion, her two sons. Ask them if carnality don't kill. They left Bethlehem, Judah, the place of the will of God, and went in a time of famine to Moab. Moab's the top of the world, and guess what happened? Judgment came. Amen. Every one of them died except Naomi. Amen. And she came back. She heard God was visiting the house again. God had sent bread to His people again. And she went back. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said, no. Don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant one. Call me Mara, for God hath dealt bitterly with me. Amen. Amen. Carnality kills. Yes, sir. Amen. That's not the message, but it got in there somehow. But verse 15, love not the world. Amen. Love not the world. You can preach that in the average church and it'll kill it dead as a hammer. Amen. It's amazing how people don't mind preaching as long as it's on everybody and everything else other than themselves. But you can preach on love not the world, hit about everybody. Amen. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Had a fellow tell me one time, I don't like that preaching on things. He said, I'll come to your church, but don't preach to me about things. Well, what am I supposed to preach on? Preach Jesus. Well, what did He die for? He died for sin. Why did He come down here? Because we had a sin problem. We couldn't get out of it. Right. Amen. That's just another way of saying I'm a liberal. Don't preach nothing to me. Amen. But the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things. By the way, I just want to tell you this morning, we all got problems with things. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, here's how strong God feels about it. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'm going to put that in real strong language. God said, you don't know Him. You can't love this world and know God. Amen. You can't love both. Amen. And how many churches, how many people profess to know God, love God, my friend, and they are worldly to the bone, corrupt to the bone. And it's evident a lot of times, my friend, because they draw up in a knot when preacher preaches against sin and carnality and worldliness. Oh no, here it comes. Oh, I dread this. Oh, the preacher's going to hit that again. Praise God, the attitude ought to be, amen, preacher, get it. Don't get close, dig it up. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the world, but is of the Father. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now what John is doing here in these verses, and I'm not going to preach them all, I'm just mainly going to look at verse 12, but what John is doing in these verses, he's contrasting the two ways of life. Here in these verses, he's contrasting the two ways of life. He's contrasting the earthly with the eternal. Those that love the world versus those that love the will of God. He's contrasting the temporal with the eternal. Amen? He's contrasting the physical with the spiritual. And I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, there are every one of us here today facing, especially us that are saved, the two ways of life. There's a battle going to be in your life till you quit breathing between the physical and the spiritual. There'll be a battle in your life as long as you're alive, my friend, between the earthly and the eternal. What's going to get your affection? What's going to have your attention? What are you going to give your time to? Amen? Amen. I read just this morning, what you think most of is a god to you. Amen. What you think about most controls you. But anyway, the Bible said in verse number 12, forgiveness. It talks about forgiveness. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. That some of you are just, glory to God, I'm glad he's in verse 12 instead of verse 15. Well, don't lose hope. We might get there. Who knows? Amen. But there's a lot of Bible said about forgiveness. A lot of it. Now, I'm not talking about just man to man or human to human, brother to brother. I'm talking about divine forgiveness. I'm talking about vertical forgiveness. Forgiveness with God. Amen. That's my number one priority, is to have that forgiveness from the Lord. Amen. There's a lot of reasons why we should be forgiven, why we want to be forgiven, why we need to be forgiven. And by the way, to be forgiven is not optional. You can't go to heaven unless you have received divine forgiveness from heaven, from God. God can't let anybody in, my friend, without being forgiven. Amen. Amen? And God could never forgive anybody apart from Jesus. That's the main reason why Jesus Christ came down here to bleed and die as our sacrifice, is because apart from His shed blood, God could never forgive sin. God has to have a sacrifice. Now, deal with that in a little bit. Amen? Even in the Old Testament, they had atonement. They had atonement for sin. That always came through a sacrifice. That always came through blood. Amen? And I want to talk about, first of all, just some things that sin does. Of course, we heard Brother Jeff preach on that, tremendous preaching this week in the revival. But sin separates from God. Why do I need to be forgiven? Because sin is between you and God. God can't get to you because of sin. And you can't get to God because of sin. I'm talking about if you're lost. If you're unsaved here today. God cannot deal with you and save you as long as with sin in your life. Are you listening? God can't let nobody go to heaven with sin in their life. You'd mess heaven up if you went. Amen? The smallest insignificant sin, the smallest micro sin, if it got inside the heaven's gates, it would defile everything. Amen? Amen? People that's interested in sin is not interested in going to heaven anyway. Amen? They're interested in this world. Amen? They're not interested in going to heaven, but sin separates from God. Therefore, God cannot save you as long as there's sin in your life. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 1, we're in the Christmas time, the Bible said that thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. God know that He can't save you apart from you dealing with you and Him both dealing with sin. Amen? Sin's got to be out of your life in order for God to save you. For you can know God, you've got to have sin out of your life. I'm talking about on a judicial level. Now notice this. Romans 5 and verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. A sinner is separated from God. Sin separates from God. Amen? Sin gets in between you and God. And you can't go to heaven. You can't know God. You can't be saved as long as that sin is there. You got to be willing to deal with what's between you and God in order to get saved. I believe this. I've said this all of my life that I've been saved anyway. I believe that every person that has not saved, there's usually one thing in their life that's keeping them from it. Amen? Even the rich young ruler, or the rich young man that came to Jesus, you know, and he talked about all these wonderful things that he did and kept all these different commandments. But Jesus said one thing, thou lackest. Jesus put His finger on the very one thing that was keeping that man from getting saved. And the Bible said that he went away sorrowful. He wasn't wanting to deal with it. I believe God will save anybody that's willing to deal with their sin. Because God will not save anybody and overlook sin. Amen. That's truth, isn't it? But sinners need to be reconciled to God. Why in the world would a sinner want to be saved? Because they're separated from God. That's what death is. That's what eternal death is separation from God. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, the Bible said, "And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ." We've been reconciled by Jesus Christ. Not Mary, not some of the saints of God. Amen. Come on now. There'll be a lot of emphasis now in these next 30 to 40 days about Mary. But I want to tell you, Mary didn't do it. Mary couldn't save nobody. Amen. Mary couldn't save you. Mary couldn't even save herself. She addressed Jesus as God, her Savior, in the book of Luke. Amen. She needed a Savior. She wasn't immaculate. She was a virgin, yes, amen. She was respectable. She made some good choices in life to live clean, and God honored that. She is an honorable person, but she is not one to be exalted, not one to be, my friend, worshiped, amen. She is not the co-redemptrix. She is not the co-mediatrix, meaning that she is a partner with Jesus about redemption and mediatorship. Amen. I don't go to Mary and get her to go to Jesus. The Bible said there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. Sin separates. Why do you need forgiveness? Because you've got something between you and God you can't get rid of. You can't deal with it. It's bigger than you. Amen. You're not in control of your sin. Your sin's in control of you. I don't have time to show you, but there's verses to prove that. Ephesians chapter 2 is one classic passage. Amen. Where in the times past you walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. When you was lost, you thought you was doing what you wanted to do. But the truth is, sin was in control of your life. Amen. That's why a sinner will never go to God on his own. He loves his sin. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil and will not come to the light lest their deeds be reproved. Amen. Sinners left to themselves will never seek God. Romans chapter 3, there is none that seeketh after God. No, not one. None. Nobody will seek after God until God begins to work and God begins to deal and God begins to draw. Amen. There's something between you and God. It's called sin. And here's the thing, you can't deal with it. It's bigger than you. It's in control of you. Amen. It runs your life. It's got dominion over you. I'm talking about if you're lost. Amen. It's in control. And so what God did 2,000 years ago, Brother Jacob, He realized that sinners cannot deal with sin. Morality won't fix it. Reformation won't fix it. Religion won't fix it. Straightening up and turning over a new leaf and making resolutions won't fix it. So God recognized a long time, in fact, even before the foundation of the world, God knew that if the sin issue that separates man from God is going to be fixed, God is saying, I'm going to have to fix it. Sinners need to be reconciled. But that simply means a go-between, a mediator, my friend, has to step in between. Amen. And be able to identify with fallen man, but yet at the same time be able to identify with a thrice holy, righteous, holy God at the same time. Well, man could never have met that need. Man could always meet and line up and identify with the sinful, fallen nature of man, but he couldn't identify with the holy God. Amen. But then God, just by Himself and of Himself, my friend, couldn't identify with man because He's holy. So there's a problem. There's a division. There's separation. There's something between man and God that man cannot fix by himself. There's something between God and man that not even God could overlook. So here's God's plan. God says, I'll become a man. God stepped into an incarnated human body. That's what Jesus was. God manifest in the flesh. God stepped into human body. And don't you think He wasn't a human being? He is 100% man. And on the other hand, He is 100% God. Hit with that man side of God, that human side of Jesus, my friend, He was able to reach and to identify with Adam's fallen race.
Amen.
And get a hold of them with one hand. And seeing that He was sinless and spotless and could not sin and did not sin,
Amen.
That allowed Him to hook up with God, who is holy.
Amen.
So we are reconciled to God in the person of Jesus. The only way for fallen man to get to a holy God is through the man Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why we ought to shout over Him coming to this world. Because there was no way that we could go to His world had not He come to our world. Thank God. The greatest gift ever given. My friend was born of a virgin in a barn in Bethlehem. He came in here, my friend, not to do good, but to provide a way that we could know God. Amen. I'm not sympathetic at all toward any religion, my friend, that offers a salvation that bypasses the cross. I am not sympathetic.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. I mean, it don't bother some. It don't bother some, my friend, to get on the platform and share in a service with people that deny the faith and deny the doctrines of the Bible, but it bothers me. I wouldn't be able to sleep. I'd probably have a heart attack sitting on the platform, amen, to know that I'm preaching one thing and old John Doe over there is, my friend, canceling out everything that I preach. Amen. Amen. Salvation's not in a mass. Salvation, my friend, is not in morals, and it's not in money, and it's not in men. Salvation is in the man, Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Listen, we shout about Jesus being the Son of God, and He was. Praise God. I want to tell you what He was also that we should shout about, and that was He is the Son of Man. He is called both. He's the Son of God that hooks Him up with God. He's the Son of Man that hooks Him up with man. See, it takes a kinsman to redeem. According to the Old Testament law, a stranger couldn't redeem. It had to be a kinsman. Well, we wasn't kin to God because sin separated us. But when Jesus came down as the Son of God, He stayed God. He stayed God. He's still God. But at the same time, He became the Son of Man. He became my relative. anointed. He became my qualifier. He became my redeemer. He, my friend, is able to reach and get me and represent me, and then reach and get God and represent God. It's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, that man and God meets together. Hallelujah. Amen. See, a while ago you thought I was going to be preaching on things and you drawled up. I've been preaching on Jesus for about 15 minutes now, trying to magnify the fact that nobody can get to God without going through Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord just showed me something else. Brother James, what was between us and God? Sin. Sinful man's over here, born in sin. He's a sinner by conception, and then he becomes a sinner by choice. He's a sinner for all, and by the way, there are no exemptions. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, well, I ain't as bad a sinner as that one. Or, it don't matter. Sin. Nobody can go to heaven with the slightest, smallest sin in their life.
Amen.
Say, what? Well, amen. Say, does that mean I've got to be perfect to go to heaven? You got that right. Only perfect people goes to heaven. I get them wheels a-turning, won't it? Some of you look at that, oh, I'm going to another church, this has gone crazy. It's true. God requires perfect righteousness out of everybody that goes to heaven. You say, but preacher, I can't do that. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. All of this group over here, fat Adam's fallen race, sinful people, born in sin, sinners by conception, sinners by choice. I'm going to tell you, they can't get out. They're in a bondage. They're in a spiritual prison. The prince and power of the air controls them. And my friend, they're not headed to heaven. They're headed for hell. They're one heartbeat from hell. Are you listening? Well, you say, preacher, how can this crowd here get over there to where God is? What did I say was between us?
Sin
separates. Sin's between us. I can't get to God because there's something between me and God called sin. Oh, this is good. I seen it there just a minute ago. And God, Brother Frankie, can't get over here to us because he'd defile his character. He's holy and he'll never compromise his holiness to save anybody. So what took place? What is it that dealt with that middle issue? Where was it that Jesus got? Where was His position to save us? He got in the middle. He became sin for us. My
brain.
Glory! He got in the middle. The Bible said He became sin for us. How can God deal with man? How can man deal with God? Because God dealt with my sin in the person of Jesus on the cross. He didn't overlook my sin. He didn't let me off with my sin. He didn't just dismiss my sin, made a choice to forget it. My friend, sin required a payment. The broken law demanded a penalty to be carried out. God didn't let us off the hook. God just put the hook in His Son.
Amen. Yes. Thank God.
The innocent died. And the guilty gets to go free.
Oh, thank God.
Everybody's looking for a good deal? Search the world over. You'll never beat that one. You get it all for nothing. I gave Him my sin, and He gave me His righteousness. I get to go to heaven. God became man. God came down here to earth that I could get saved and go to heaven. The Son of God became the Son of Man that we, the sons of men, could become the sons of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Why do I need to be forgiven? Because that which is between you and God, sin must be dealt with.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, what you're doing, we've got Adam's race over here, fallen race, sinful race, no hope, none righteous, no not one, no way of getting out of this group, no way of getting out of this hole. My friend, this is the broad road that leads to destruction. Well, how can a person get away from that over here? Listen, all this crowd over here could be saved, but they're not going to be saved.
Amen.
Because it's their own choice, they're going to reject the gospel. But every once in a while, Brother Mike, there'll be one over here. It might be a little kid. It might be a mama. It might be a daddy or grandparent. My friend, all of a sudden, they hear some preaching. They hear some preaching. Or else, Brother Silas, they'll find a gospel track, or somebody give them a track, or somebody let them have a CD, and they start hearing preaching, and that preaching's telling them about the other side. That preaching's telling them about how they know God. That preaching's telling them about what's in their life called sin. That's keeping them away from the Creator.
Right.
And every once in a while, one would say, you know what? I believe I'm sick of that sinful life. I believe I want to know God. This sinful life is not satisfying me. This sinful life is not helping me. I've been living in this lifestyle for this many years. I've made these choices and I do this and that and the other. But I'm more miserable now than I've ever been. And by the way, are y'all listening? You can look around at your others that's in that same group with you, and they're miserable too. I'll tell you, it'd be a wise and a happy choice in your life to listen to preaching, to listen to the Holy Ghost when He knocks on your heart's door and you come to Jesus. Keep in mind now, you can't get to God without going through Jesus. That's what it means to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. You put your faith and trust that God punished your sin and dealt with your sinfulness in the person of Jesus instead of in me. And I accept Jesus as my sacrifice. I accept Him as my substitute, that He died in my place, that God poured His wrath out on Jesus for my sin. Amen. In the person of Jesus. And therefore I get to know God. I get to come over here and be saved. I get to walk with God and, my friend, live for God and one day go and live with God. Hallelujah. But it was that man in the middle that made it possible. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. I want to tell you, in light of that, I want to ask you something. In light of that right there, if you could see it, and if you've got a hold of it, if in light of that right there, don't you think God was wise of putting 1 John 2:15 in there? Love not the world when it was Jesus that paid the price. Love not the world when it was Jesus that suffered, bled, and died. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. My friend, it was Jesus, my friend, that saves us. Amen. In light of that right there, my friend, I don't think we should budge an inch about preaching against carnality and worldliness, because it was Him, Jesus, that loved us enough to come to this world and bleed and die for us.
Amen.
We're not looking to see how world we can get and still be right with God or whatever. Seeing how loose we can get. Seeing how far we can stray. I want to tell you what, God's people loves that man in the middle. God's people loves Brother Rob, the one that reconciles us to God, that makes it possible, my friend, to escape, my friend, the wrath and the judgment and the condemnation of God, my friend, to be able to come over here where there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Thank God I've been over here now 27 years.
Amen.
I was over there 20. Why would I want to go back over there? Why would I want to go back there in my thoughts? Why would I want to go back over there in my affection? Why would I want to go back there in my association? Why would I want to go back over there in action? And we've all not been over here perfect where we need to be. Some of us have started back this direction a few times. Come on now, don't look so sanctified. Do you know what I found out happens? Start coming back this way, getting away from God, distance between you and the Lord. Brother Gene, here's what happens. Oh, excuse me, Lord. He's still in the middle. Amen. Amen. He didn't just allow me a gate and a doorway to escape the world and the judgment to come and the wrath to come and the fires of hell. But thank God He's a door through which I can go through to get saved. John 10:9 says that. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. But also, for those that gets discouraged, those that gets depressed, and maybe starts venturing in that flesh direction, somewhere along the way, you're going to bump into Jesus, and He's going to say, "What? Excuse me. You don't belong over there no more." What? And I know Jesus wouldn't say this, but what if He said, "What's the matter, sir?" Or no, let's put it more personal. What's the matter, son? Am I not satisfying you over here? Paths of righteousness not good for you? The peace I give you over here, is that not good enough? The joy that I have available for you over here, is that good? Not good enough for you? Why is it that you think that there's something over here? Son, don't you remember? Before I found you, before I rescued you, before I delivered you, you lived over there. Yeah. Don't you remember how miserable you was? Don't you remember those things you did over there in that pile and over that lifestyle? It didn't satisfy you. Remember you laid awake at night and you remember how miserable that you were and empty, you was empty. There was no contentment, no joy. Hey, you remember that? You remember that? And in my case, don't you remember January 20th when I dealt with you and you came and you dealt with me and I was your door to heaven. I was your entrance into the things of God. Don't you remember that? Oh, I do, Lord. Amen. I do, Lord. Forgive me for even thinking about that life. Forgive me for even thinking about that life. I choose Jesus. Amen. Just give me God. Amen. Just take the whole world, but just give me Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I wasn't able to deal with all that. Lord, help us. That was not even a point. That's just something I was wanting to deal with to help us see the importance of why we need to be forgiven. Amen. And how we can be forgiven. Amen. I like it. I like the way God works things. Amen. Colossians 1:21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. If you can't shout about reconciliation, you won't shout about salvation. Salvation reconciles you to God. Amen. The creature, knowing the Creator. Well, amen. But not only sin is separation from God, but sin is a debt and an offense. You remember a while ago I mentioned that sin could not be overlooked. Sin could not be made light of. God couldn't just dismiss it. God just couldn't make a choice. And you know, we say, you've heard people say this, God can do anything He wants to do. He can, but there's a lot of things God cannot do. I preached a whole message years ago on what God cannot do. We talk about what He can do. He can do anything. No, there's a lot of things God can't do. God can't save the devil. God can't give you a better Bible than that King James Bible. Amen. Amen. God can't provide a better sacrifice than Jesus Christ, His darling Son. Amen. Amen. God can't send a saved person to hell. God can't let a lost person go to heaven.
Amen.
There's a lot of things God cannot do. Amen. And God cannot lie.
Amen.
What He's promised is able to perform. Amen. But here's the thing. Sin's got to be dealt with. Sin is a transgression of the law. Sin means that God says don't and you did. God, amen. Anybody that comes to the altar and you ask them about what is sin and they don't have a clue what sin is, they're not a bit more ready to be saved than nothing, because we're saved from sin.
Right. Amen.
Amen. You get saved because you're trying to get saved from something and saved unto something. Just like that illustration I gave before you today. You're trying to get saved from that and unto this. Alright, listen. Sin is a debt. How are you going to pay it? You can't just write it off. God didn't knock in a bailout program. God's not going to just write you a check and say, well, you just keep on, you know, you're in this mess. You're in this mess because of stupid choices you've made. You see the parallel, don't you? You're in this mess because of the choices you made, and God knows that, and you're responsible for your own action, and God is not going to come in and say, I tell you what, I know you're in a mess and all that, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to bail you out, and you can just keep on making your stupid choices. No. Sin, my friend, means that somebody, sin means you've transgressed the law of God. You have broken the law of God. And the Bible said in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. God says because you have sinned, death is the penalty of the law. Amen? Alright? How are you going to pay for your debt? Sin's a debt. Sin is an offense. You've offended the law. You say, well, preacher, I've not done all that bad. Guess what the Bible says in the book of James, chapter 2 and verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend, which means to err, to sin, or to fail, in one point, he is guilty of all. God says that if you have sinned or offended of the law in one point, you're guilty of it all. One of the best illustrations I ran across a long time ago about that is about the and we've all probably shot BB guns through glasses, amen. How many has? Be honest. You can throw a rock through that glass or a BB shoot a gun through the glass or whatever. You don't just say, well, you know what? I've offended in that one point right there. I didn't mess nothing else up. I just messed up that one little hole right there. All I'm responsible for is preparing that little hole. No, you broke the glass.
That's right. That's right.
It's got to be repaired. It's got to be replaced. If you're guilty in one point, you don't just say, well, I got to fix this one point. The Bible says you're guilty of all. You've broken the whole law of God. And you're a sinner before God. You're a transgressor before God. You've got a debt. How are you going to pay it? The best you can do, the Bible says, is filthy rags in His sight. If you start, listen to this. Lord, give me this last night. If a sinner right now made a decision today, okay, I've been a sinner, preacher. I'm talking about if he could do this. He can't, but if he could. Okay, preacher, I've sinned. I've been a sinner. I've sinned in my life. But I'm making a choice today, right now, on this whatever day it is of December, whatever time it is. I'm making a decision right now. I'm never sinning again. I'm going to live the rest of my life. I'll never sin again. I'll never think another... You can't do it, but I'm just saying if you could. You'll never think another bad thought. Never say another word that's wrong. You'll never feel nothing's wrong. Do nothing's wrong. You'll never go nowhere's wrong. You'll never act in no way that's wrong. I mean perfect from that point of making that decision. I'm going to live the rest of my life with absolute perfect. But that still won't pay the debt. That still won't fix the broken law. So you got a debt. How are you going to pay it? Righteousness? I just gave that illustration. Your righteousness is made up of good deeds and morality and obedience and honesty and all that sort of thing. And that'll never pay it. For our righteousness is as filthy rags in His sight. The Bible said there's none righteous, no, not one. How are you going to pay your debt? I'm talking about sinners have got a major problem. You've got something between you and God called sin. You broke His law. And you can't fix it. You don't have no way of paying that debt. You say, well, I'll just offer up good works and morality and I'll just... Hey, that's not blood. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. God told Adam and Eve, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall what? Surely die. Death has always been the penalty of God's broken law. So how are you going to pay for it? How are you going to take care of your debt? You can't. Jesus came and has already made that available. He's already died. He died as a sinner. He wasn't a sinner. He was sinless. But He died as me. He died as you. He died in my place. That enables God to be the just and the justifier of them that'll believe. Amen. See, God can't overlook a broken law and save anybody. God just provided the payment through His Son. My broken law demands death. Either the sinner dies or the Savior dies. And God says, I'm willing to die that sinners can be saved. Hallelujah. See, that's why that I can shout about going to heaven. Is because the penalty of my broken law, of my sinfulness, has already been met in full in Jesus Christ. And let me just let you on a wonderful truth. God will never require a double payment for sin. Brother Henry, my payment was met in Jesus. When I put my faith and trust in Christ, when I accepted Him as my personal Savior, His death became reckoned unto me for righteousness. He died to satisfy the demands of a broken law. So I, the guilty, through Him, could go to heaven instead of going to hell. That ought to make That ought to make about anybody shout right there. Amen? Sin's a debt. Sin's an offense. God, listen, it's got to be taken care of. Got to be paid for. How are you going to do it? You can't do it. Jesus already has. That's why it's important that you get saved, is so that the debt be taken care of. Amen. All right, listen. Let me just give you this right here. I'm not going to get nowhere close to where I wanted to get this morning. But that's all right. I've enjoyed preaching about Jesus this morning. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Sound like Brother Jeff right there, didn't it? Amen. He's rubbing off on me. I love him. Amen. Listen, sinners have got a debt. Sin is a debt. And you know what the Bible says? In John 3 and verse 18, he that believeth is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. You say, preacher, I'm going to just wait and see if the good outweighs the bad. I'm just going to wait and see if I've done good enough. Hey, let me let you in on something right here. It'll save you a wasted life of that. God is saying, you're already found guilty. You've already been classified as a sinner. Guilt is a sinner. God's done past judgment on you. Your head, listen, the sentence is eternity separated from God. And it's only the mercy of God that's keeping that from being carried out. Thank God I get to go to heaven because of substitution. I get to go to heaven because of Jesus taking my place, dying in my stead. The classic example of that. Hey, listen, are you listening? The classic example of that is Barabbas and Jesus. That cross Jesus died on was not Jesus' cross. It belonged to another. Barabbas was his name. What was Barabbas? He was a thief. He had broken the law. He had been judged, Brother Rob, and been found guilty by the judicial system of that day. And they declared the penalty to be crucifixion. He was in jail awaiting the day of execution. But guess what happened in the meantime? You know the story. That crowd, my friend, when they were asked, do I release Jesus or Barabbas? And of course, they hated Jesus. And the world still hates Jesus. They love criminals better than they do Jesus. Amen. That all that crowd didn't die out centuries ago. That some of that crowd still got their bloodline in today. They love criminals more than Christ. Amen. And when the offer was made, do I release Barabbas unto you, which was a known criminal and a thief, already been found guilty? Judgment's done passed. Done had his court case. Couldn't get out of it. Execution by crucifixion. Do I release Barabbas unto you or Jesus? And they begin to scream, Barabbas. And they begin to tell about Jesus. Crucify Him. Crucify Him. Crucify Him. So there Jesus. Listen, listen. Hey, come here. That middle cross had to be occupied. It wasn't a matter of somebody getting off the hook and nobody dying, just letting them go. That middle cross, Brother Aaron, had to be occupied. Amen. If Barabbas wasn't on it, somebody that's taking his place had to be. And Jesus, praise God, hallelujah, the sinless, wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, amen, the lover of my soul, amen. I'll tell you what He did. He took that middle cross. You say, what'd He do? Nothing. What wrongs had He done? Nothing. What sin did he commit? Nothing. Even the one of the thieves said to him, "This man has done nothing amiss." Amen. He testified, one of the thieves testified, "We're getting what is coming to us. We've got the just rewards for our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss." But that middle cross had to be occupied. Your debt's got to be paid. And if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and let the payment be paid in Him, then you will have to be without option. You will have to be banished forever, eternally, my friend, first into hell and then into the lake of fire, never escaping. You say, "Preacher, if I go there for 10 million years, then the debt will be paid and I'll get out." Nope. Well, I go there 100 billion years suffering for my sin in the flames of hell. Then I'll get out, preacher. The dead will be met. No, because you'll never die. The law says sin requires death. And you've got to die. And if you live forever or die eternally and never come to the place where you die, then the penalty will have never been met. There's got to be a death to satisfy the law of God. Jesus' death satisfies it. Your death forever in hell will never satisfy the broken law of God. So it's very much a wise choice to get saved and get to go to heaven. Hallelujah. I mean, the just dying for the unjust. The guilty gets to go to heaven. Not get off and go to heaven, but gets to go through Jesus. He gets to go to heaven because God's righteous demands was met in Jesus on the cross. I believe, my friend, that the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus on the cross. I believe He suffered our hell. I believe He suffered the wrath of God. But my friend, He came to the end of His death. And my friend, He was in charge. They did not kill Him. Don't you let none of these movie makers lead you to believe that they killed Him. He said, "I laid down my life and I'm freely take it up again." Amen. Glory to God. That's my Savior. Hey, I'll tell you how much control He was. He wasn't just in control of His birth. He wasn't just in control of His life. He was in control of His death. Amen. He made sure that even through His death, He fulfilled all the prophecies concerning His death. Amen. To the detail. And then listen, I tell you how much God He was. He couldn't even have died had not He became obedient unto death and dismissed His spirit.
Amen.
Nobody else can do that.
Amen.
We're running from death. We're not in charge of it. We don't know when it's coming, and if it comes, we can't avoid it. But I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ, when the price was paid and the law of God that was broken by sinful man, my friend, when the law was satisfied, Jesus declared, "It is finished!"
Amen.
And I want to say, He cried that with a loud voice. Somebody dying can't cry with a loud voice. You can't hardly hear nothing they're saying because their breath is leaving their body. I'll tell you, Jesus was not hanging there dying as a victim. He was dying as a victor. He stood there on the cross. He hung there, Brother Mark, between heaven and earth. His body mutilated more than any man. His visage was marred more than any man. You couldn't even recognize Him as a man. Looked like He'd been run through a meat grinder. You better believe I'm going to love Him and serve Him. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Hung there. And dismissed His spirit from His body. You can go now. The job's done. It is finished. And the Bible said, and He gave up the ghost. And if I ain't mistaken, one of the other places says He yielded up. He was in charge of His death. He was in control. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. He didn't lose His cool when there's a beating on Him. Amen. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He opened not His mouth. Somebody beating on me. Somebody beating on you. We ain't going to take it. Somebody beat on my family. We ain't going to take it. I tell you how bad it was. I will tell you how bad it was. It was so bad the father turned. He couldn't even watch. He couldn't even behold Jesus, the Son of the living God. One, you said, preacher, what was it that God had to turn His away from? Was it all the beatings and the scourgings to see His Son, His own darling Son, to go through that? That was a part of it, but that wasn't what caused Him to turn His face. He turned His face from Him because of sin. He became my sin. He became my lies and my defilements. And He became all of my sin. And God can't look on sin. And amen. Hallelujah. He suffered banishment from God and He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And Psalms 22 answered the question, because Thou art holy. He turned His back on God, on Jesus. So that when I call on Him as a repenting, believing sinner, He could turn His face toward me and I could find grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I tell you, that's enough right there. We'll be shouting a victory. Amen. 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 Lord willing, tonight we're going to be having, and I've planned this for a while, but we're going to be having the Lord's Supper tonight. This message this morning, I didn't know it was going this direction. But it's going that way. Lord, prepare our hearts for it. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. But sin is a debt. Listen. I was going to tell you that illustration. I'll go on. I'm not going to deal with these others. But the Bible says there in our text, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. Are forgiven you for His name's sake. If you'll notice this, can I just make this statement here? I was going to talk about this. Forgiveness is a primary blessing, perfect blessing, personal blessing. It is a priceless blessing, and it is a productive blessing. That's what I was aiming to deal with. But let me just give you this right here. I believe it's very clear. You still got your Bibles open? Say amen. Right there in our text, I write unto you, little children. Remember what that one means? The born ones. I write unto you that's been born again. I write unto my children that's been saved. By the way, that's the only way you can get into the family of God is by birth. But He says, I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you. Do you see the connection? There's a connection between being in the family and being forgiven. That's how you get into the family. That's how you become one of the children, is through forgiveness. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. It's only God's children that are forgiven. It's more than that we just believe in forgiveness and recite some Apostles' Creed, which a lot of people does every day, every week. But God's people are people that who have experienced that forgiveness. Well, I remember, and listen, I'm talking about the initial forgiveness. I remember that night I got saved. I remember that night, Brother Jacob. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I went down to that old-fashioned altar center, and I come up saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You know what happened in that altar? I was forgiven. And I got up from that altar, and the load of sin was gone. The condemnation of sin was gone. And I was clean. I was clean. That's the initial and the judicial cleansing. But 1 John 1:9 talks about that progressive. Listen, we're in a world of sin and wickedness and defilement. But the Bible said in 1 John 1:9, written to save people, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See that? Oh, yes. That first, Brother Brian, that first initial forgiveness that I received, Brother Rob, that dealt with my relationship. That gave me a relationship, made me a child, one of His children. But 1 John 1:9 don't deal with relationship. 1 John 1:9 deals with fellowship. Amen. That relationship's never broken. Not one second. I've always been a son. He's always been my father. But boy, there's been many times the fellowship's been broken. But I can go to God. The Bible said in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And that's this way. That's vertical. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Some of you say, preacher, I'm coming to a close. Some of you can say, preacher, I've never had that initial forgiveness. I've never had that time where I got in an altar, where I bowed, like Brother Jeremy, at the bumper of a truck. Some Brother Ivan got saved in a deer stand. You know, might be some here got saved at the house. Or it might have been in an old-fashioned altar at the church. But you did business with God. Has there ever been a time in your life that you did business with God about that which is between you and God called sin? Well, preacher, I've just kind of always been a Christian. No, you've not always been a Christian. In fact, the Bible tells us that you were conceived in sin. You was a sinner by birth, and then you became a sinner by behavior. But has there ever been a time that you did business with God? Now, I didn't ask you, was there ever a time that you prayed a little prayer and made a little flimsy dime store profession that didn't produce anything? That was one of the points I was going to bring out, was forgiveness is productive. It'll produce some things in your life. Maybe we'll get to preach that some other time. But has there ever been that time? You say, well, preacher, I can't remember if it was January or July. You don't have to remember you don't have to remember what month it was. I think it's good if you could, but not essential. You can't remember if it was Monday or Friday or Sunday. It'd be good if you could, but that's not essential. But I want to tell you, if there's ever been a time, ladies and gentlemen, that God dealt with your soul about what was between you and Him, sin. And listen, God can't advance towards you beyond Jesus. He can't come no further than Jesus. And nor can man get to God beyond Jesus. You've got to meet in Jesus. That's where salvation is. Salvation is in Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life. That's what the Bible says. But do you remember that there was a time that you did business with God and you knew that your sins had been forgiven you? So, preacher, I don't know about that, but I joined a church one time. I didn't ask that. Well, I don't know, preacher, if I can remember that, but I do remember getting baptized. I didn't even ask that. Well, I don't know if I remember all the details there, preacher, but I don't remember if it was a place or not, but I do know one thing. I have a godly heritage, and well, I was raised with a good mom and daddy and a good church. And I've been to church all my life, preacher. Been to Sunday school, got certificates, and I got the little rewards, you know, for faithful attendance, preacher. I've done. But you know what? I just don't know if I can think about that time, that place where God did business with my soul, and I did business with Him, and my sins was forgiven. Some of you in here can remember that. Preacher, I got saved. I remember I was here and it was there. This happened. I remember, preacher, I got saved. But on the other hand, some of you, my friend, knows that the initial forgiveness is there, but you've strayed. You've drifted. Things in your life you know is not right. And I'm just going to tell you, a saved person can do anything a lost person can do. Are you listening to this preacher? I'm trying to hush you just a minute. A saved person can do anything a lost person can do. In fact, here's what I've noticed. Here's what I've noticed, Brother Carroll, and people that claim to have got saved, Brother, I don't doubt that what they did. I've seen them get out of church. And you know what I've seen? I've seen them go worse. I've seen them go plumb out in the ditch, my friend. Plumb in the deep end. Could that be not like that one there in the Bible where Jesus, he was demon possessed? And my friend, the demons came out, but the man never got saved.
And my friend, he just went on with his little morality and clean, you know, just cleaned up. And guess what happened? That same demon come back with seven more. And he was worked seven times worse afterwards than he was beforehand. Listen to this. But some of you, I'm trying to bring it close. Some of you have had that initial forgiveness. But you've got things in your life that you know good and well is not becoming of a Christian. You know what you need? 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:7. And 1 John 1:9. You need that. You need 1 John 2. My little children, write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a perpetuation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. You don't need to get saved again. That's crucifying the Son of God afresh, according to Hebrews 6. I tell you what you need to repent. You need to get right with God and say, God, I'm your child, but I sure haven't been living like it. I'm your child, but I haven't been talking like it. I'm your child, but I haven't been thinking like it. I'm your child, but I haven't been acting like it. God, I'm getting that old-fashioned altar day. I want to get things right with you. I want to leave here today with peace and joy in my heart. And from this day forward, I make a decision, I make a choice. I'm going to serve God.